Hello, neighbors. This is the Verde family from Buffalo, New York, owners at Beach Club Villas, Boulder Ridge Villas, Polynesian Villas and Bungalows, and Saratoga Springs Resort and Spa. And you are listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed. Your fast passes are booked. Pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 127 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at DVC Resale Market. If you're in the market to buy or sell a DVC contract, head on over to the world's leader in DVC resales. They have sold over 3,000 contracts this year, and the number keeps climbing. Every single agent on their staff is a former Disney Direct Guide, and what that means is you can get that Disney level of customer service and experience without having to pay that Disney price tag. Save thousands of dollars over direct. DVCResaleMarket.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the My DVC Points podcast. In today's show, you're going to get to meet one of the finest members of the DVC community. And it's a show that really, truly embraces the heartbeat of this podcast. It's all about becoming friends with awesome people that you have a lot in common with. Vicki and I have been friends on Facebook for many years now, predating before I even started this show. And I can't believe I've taken this long to get an interview with Vicki and share this wonderful person with you. With that being said and done, let's jump into today's show. My friend, Vicki Wells from the United Kingdom. I'd like to welcome to the show today, my friend, Vicki Wells. How are you doing today, Vicki?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Vicki, tell me a little bit about your Disney history here. How did all of your Disney-ness start?
Well, growing up, we're a Disney family in that we like the movies and such like, but we never actually went to the park. We were asked once by our parents, me and my sister, whether we would like to go to Disney or whether we would like to go visit my uncle who lived in Canada. And we loved my uncle very much, so we went there. So we never went as children. So our first trip was actually with my husband on our honeymoon in 2001.
Okay. Now, I'm rolling back time here, so I didn't explicitly state this. Maybe people pick this up from your accent, but you live in the UK, correct?
That's right, yeah.
So now, did you go to like Disneyland Paris or Euro Disney or?
No, never went to Euro Disney either. From what I know of my parents now, they're not huge Disney park fans. They like the films, but they're not very big on theme parks, really. So we never went to Disneyland Paris. We have been now with our own children. We went as a couple as well. But no, that first trip was in 2001 for our honeymoon.
Okay. Tell me about that trip. What happened there? How did it start the whole park thing for you?
It was kind of an interesting trip. If I were to tell you that the very first day we had on Disney property was September the 11th, 2001.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're staying off site. We were staying in a hotel near SeaWorld because we were both at university at the time. So as much as we would have loved to have stayed on site, we didn't really have the money for that. So we stayed at this little hotel and we got the bus into the Disney park. And as we were on the bus, we heard that there'd been this terrible accident in New York. We assumed, yes, it was an accident. It was obviously terrible. Didn't think too much about it. And then we got into the park, went down to the end of Main Street. Remember, they used to have those times boards that showed you the wait times for everything.
Mm-hmm.
We went down there and got chatting to a cast member. And then all of a sudden on these loudspeakers, it said evacuate code red. And we'd literally been in the park for about 10 minutes, if that. And the cast member had a look on her face that I don't think I've ever experienced before or since. And she said, I'm very sorry, we're having to evacuate. We got shipped out and then we found out what had actually happened. And we were confined to our room for the next 2 days. And we were told by our tour company, under no circumstances, to leave our room. It was an interesting start to our honeymoon, shall we say.
No kidding. And that was your first time into Disney? Like,
yeah,
walk into Main Street and get evacuated?
Yeah, we'd literally been in the park 10 minutes and we were evacuated. I mean, we got to see how wonderful Disney efficiency was, I'll tell you that. In fact, I spoke to Lee Cockrell years and years later about it, who was a bigwig at Disney there at the time. And I told him that we were there on September 11th. And he asked what our experience was. And he said he was in the park that day also. We just said how amazing the cast members were and everything. And he was very proud of them.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite an introduction, shall we say. But yeah, it was definitely different. The next time we went in, it was not quite so well. It was much more like a normal Disney experience, shall we say.
Okay. You were stuck in the hotel room for days. Did you finally make it into Disney on that trip?
We did. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were there. Our honeymoon was just over 3 weeks. We couldn't go into the park, say, for the next 2 days. And then after that, we went to Magic Kingdom again and had the full experience. Of course, there was nobody in parks then because there were no planes taking off or landing. So literally the only people that were in Orlando were the people that were there at the time. So as terrible as it is, it was the one time we've ever been where the parks were completely empty. There was nobody there. Nobody there for weeks that we were there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that had to be at least a good park experience then.
Yeah. I mean, it was terrible, obviously, what happened. But for the actual park experience, it was quite different from anything else we've ever seen, put it that way.
Okay. So now, what happened on that trip that led to this Disney lifestyle adopting with the parks?
Yeah. I mean, we were there for, say, 3 weeks. As soon as we got back, we thought, okay, we need to go back there again. That was the best experience we've ever had. But we decided we wanted to stay on site after that. So it was a couple of years that we then saved up for our next trip. But we decided, no, we're going to stay on site. And one of the big travel companies over here is called Virgin Holidays. And we kept stalking their website to see if we could get a decent price for a trip. And one day, I remember my husband was at work and I was on their website. And there was a price for a stay for, again, for 3 weeks. One of the all-stars, and the price didn't look right. It was a lot less than I would expect it to be. So I called Anthony, my husband, and said, what's, this is an interesting price. It seems a little bit too good to be true, because it was significantly less than we'd have expected, about 30-40% than we'd been seeing before. And he said, that seems very strange, call Virgin Holidays. So I did. I called them up and the lady that I spoke to said, it would appear there's been an issue on the website. It looks like some sort of discount has been applied that shouldn't be there. But she said, I'm not going to tell the IT department for about 40 minutes. If you want to go ahead and book that online, I'm not going to tell anyone for about 40 minutes. And she was very clear about that. So I got online and booked it. We ended up getting a very reasonable price to stay at All Star Movies for 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And that was the start of our love of staying on site at Disney. And we've never looked back since then, really.
So that would have been what, 2004, 2005-ish?
Yeah, it was the summer of 2004 that we went on that trip.
Okay. Now, I know eventually you guys became DVC members and Add-On-itis has hit in a few times just from being friends on Facebook and talking with you in the parks one day. But like, lead me through that process then. So what was the third trip like?
Oh, we had several trips then after that. We went once more before we had our son, Ben. He was born in 2007. We went a couple of times before that. Then after that, we didn't go again till 2009 when he was two. A few more trips after that. And then our daughter, Ava, came along in 2011. I was trying to add it up the other day. I honestly do not know how many times we've been now. But we bought our DVC finally in 2017.
Okay, so you had, from 2001 to 2017, that's quite a few years.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts on DVC in the meantime? Did you know about it? Did anything register?
Yeah, I mean, we'd seen those booths several times and we'd actually called them for information and such, but we thought it was going to cost us too much until we discovered resale. And then when we discovered resale, we thought, you know what, actually, we can afford this. And that's when we made the decision to buy our first contract.
Okay, and so where was your first contract at?
Our first contract was at Old Key West, and strangely enough, we were actually staying at Old Key West on a cash rate when we went to do the tour, because we thought that would be fun to go and do the tour, but we actually had a resale contract going through while we were on that trip, And just a couple of days before we went on that trip, we passed right of first refusal. So when we went round on the DVC tour at Saratoga Springs, we just realized we'd passed right of first refusal and we were going to be owners anyway.
Okay. So now what year was that? I'm trying to figure out for blue card math here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was 2017.
Okay.
So we had, just the white card for that. And at that point, the blue card was at 25 points. And I think that was towards the end of 2017 when they said that it was going to go up to 50, I believe. So we thought we would try and get that blue card while the 25 point minimum was still there. And we did. We managed to get 25 points at Old Key West direct about 3 days before the rules changed to 50 points. So we've just got there in time.
Nice. Okay. And so how has add-on-itis impacted your family since then? Is it 3 weeks is a long time. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. I mean, we go for longer than 3 weeks now.
Oh, now you're just making everybody drool.
the first contract we bought was enough for just over 2 weeks in a studio at Old Key West, which we were perfectly happy with, but we knew we would need to add on to that. So we've since bought at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and we've also bought about a year ago now, we bought a stripped contract at Saratoga Springs. So we were supposed to use that for the first time this summer, but obviously that hasn't happened because we can't get over there just now. So we've banked those points and we should hopefully be able to use those next year.
Okay, then. So I'm hearing Old Key West, Animal Kingdom, mm-hmm. Saratoga. Those are kind of the value leaders in DVC as well.
Yeah.
Which makes sense as well.
I mean, basically what we wanted was the most amount of points we could get for the least amount of money, which obviously I'm sure a lot of people like to do. But we love Old Key West. We absolutely love it. And we thought that you can always get Old Key West and it's not that difficult to book. So we didn't see any point in spending money on like the Polynesian. And we have stayed at the Polynesian, but it's not our favourite resort. So there wasn't much point in buying there for us. We bought at Old Key West and we love it. And we know that the Animal Kingdom Lodge points and the Saratoga Springs points will easily be able to use Old Key West as well. We want to.
Okay. So it sounds like Old Key West is your favorite resort. Where else have you stayed? And what are your thoughts on some of these resorts?
Okay. So we first stayed at the first DVC resort we ever stayed at was actually Saratoga Springs on a cash stay. We stayed there when our daughter was only 6 months old. And we realized that having that extra little bit of space and the little kitchen was perfect for having a family in there. We love Saratoga Springs as well. So I'm quite pleased we bought there, but we're not going to stay there again until the whole place has been refurbished, so we know we can get one of those lovely new refurbished rooms. We have stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge Kidani a few times. We stayed at Kidani at Christmas, and we've also stayed at Jambo House as well. We love both of them. We've also stayed at the Polynesian also, but I do want to stay at all of them at some point.
Oh, okay. So it is a bucket list goal to try them all out. Which...
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I'm amazed. There's apparently a large percentage of DVC people who only like staying at their home resort, and that just doesn't register to me. Okay. I'm like,
yeah. Oh, I've just remembered we stayed at Boardwalk as well. We stayed there last summer.
Okay. And so far, Old Key West's favorite out of all of them?
I think it depends. It depends on the stay. Like, for example, when we went at Christmas, we stayed at Old Key West for a week, which was amazing. But we also stayed at Kidani and Kidani at Christmas. I know a lot of people like Jambo at Christmas, and we stayed there for a couple of days as well. But Kidani at Christmas was so beautiful. It was perfect for us. So I think it depends on the sort of holiday we want to have as to where we stay, really. But I would always default to Old Key West, given the chance. I love it there.
Okay. Do you guys normally stay in studios? You do one bedrooms? How do you manage this?
We stay in studios to make those points stretch as far as we possibly can. We're studio people, but we have stayed at the value one bed at Jambo House a couple of times. And we've also stayed in a one bed again at Jambo House to do the club level. We haven't stayed one beds anywhere else. Everywhere else has been studios.
Now that club level there is a little anti-point stretching in my opinion, but...
Yeah, but it was only for two nights, and it was right at the end of our Christmas trip. So it was worth it. It was wonderful. Loved it.
Would you go back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I've yet to experience club level there. It's on my list. I've got a value stay coming up here next month. So I'm excited to get to try that as a non-Animal Kingdom owner. You realize that's like winning the lotto. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Is it a studio you're staying in?
Yes.
In the value? Yeah, we've not done that. We've only done the one bedroom. But there's really not much difference at all, I don't think.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sure it'll be wonderful.
Yeah. So what all is on your guys' DVC bucket list then? What are you really trying to get done?
We want to stay everywhere. We do a lot of split stays. We default to all Key West, but we do like to vary it as much as we possibly can. So last year we stayed at Boardwalk. A couple of years before that, we stayed at Polynesian. We were supposed to this summer stay at Copper Creek. Obviously that got cancelled. So we would like to stay. I'm not too bothered about doing every room type, but we would like to do every resort at some point. And we were meant to go to Hilton Head in the summer as well. But obviously that didn't happen.
I was going to ask, are the beach resorts on your bucket list?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would love to stay in California as well, but I don't think we don't have with a 7-month window for California. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, it could work out. Have you been to Disneyland yet?
No, that is definitely a bucket list thing that we want to do.
Okay. What about Aulani? Because it seems like most of the people I know from the UK look at Aulani like it's literally the other side of the planet for them.
Yeah, I'm sure it's beautiful. And I've seen many, many YouTube vlogs of Aulani. And I'm sure we will go there one day, but I want to do California first, I think.
I think if you're already at California, you're already 3/4 of the way there, Vicky. So
yeah, you may as well just keep going.
It's funny because I've started to hear a few people now commenting that they want to hit Disneyland and then head on over to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And seeing that they're already halfway to Tokyo, you might as well just, you know, another four or five hour flight.
We could do that and then just loop all the way back around to England. You know,
I'm telling you, world tour. That would be my Chad won the lotto trip. Let's do Paris as well. Do Paris, then I got to pop up to the UK and see all my friends there. So
absolutely. You can't go to Paris and then not come up here.
Yeah, because isn't that about a 2.5-3 hour or something along those lines?
From our local airport, it's about an hour's flight down to Paris.
Yeah, then there's always the channel option as well, which just sounds interesting.
Yeah, I've never done that, but it sounds interesting.
Okay, then. Let's hit some of our rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
So, do you guys wear ears or rock a t-shirt?
T-shirt.
Mickey pretzel or churro?
Pretzel with cheese.
Oh, everybody keeps saying that with fake plastic cheese. Okay.
We have nothing like it here. There's nothing like the warm cheese that we get with the pretzel over there. We don't have it here, so I have to have it when I go over.
Well, the culinary standards in Europe are a little bit higher. All I'm saying, okay? Okay, so Dole Whip or Mickey Bar?
Mickey Bar, I don't like pineapple.
Ah, well, maybe that kind of explains why Hawaii is not so high up on your list.
You see, if you'd have said citrus swirl, I might be tempted, but I don't like pineapple at all, so no.
Oh, well, like not at all, like not even going to try, because I'm here to tell you, the pineapple in Hawaii that's kind of farm fresh, amazing.
I've tried pineapple. I want to like it. I just don't.
Okay, so what's your favorite attraction?
The People Mover. I love the People Mover. I could sit on there all day and just go round and round and round. I would be very happy.
It is kind of a nice tour of Tomorrowland. I will give you that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know whether you would call it a ride so much. It's more of an attraction, but if it was a ride, it would probably be Big Thunder Mountain. But if the People Mover, I could just sit on all day.
Okay. So then seeing that you mentioned Big Thunder, so US version or Paris version?
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Probably the Paris version, actually. It's superb. Absolutely superb.
Yeah, I got to go back over there and try that. I don't think it was finished when I went.
Oh, it's amazing. And their version of Haunted Mansion as well. The Phantom Manor is incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I think when I went, it was like 2000 and they were still struggling financially.
We went last May for my husband's 40th birthday, and the Phantom Manor, the new one, had just opened, and it was amazing. Brilliant.
Okay. Seeing that we're on Disneyland Paris, just curious here, is there any DVC discounts over there at Disneyland Paris?
No, not that we know of anyway.
Okay. I figured it was worth a shot or an ask, because I figured I'd need to ask a DVC member who lives close enough to visit.
Yeah. I mean, we've only ever been twice.
Okay.
We've not been very often.
That's amazing to me that you just keep coming over to the US version when it's just so much closer.
Yeah, but for us, it's not just about the park. It's about the whole experience. And Paris just is not that whole experience for me.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. It's more...
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good. It's good. But it's not the same.
Yeah, I could see that. And not to slight Paris, because it is an amazing city with an amazing culture. I've been a couple of times, and every time I went has just been incredible. But it's not a magical city. It's more of a historic cultural city.
Yes, yes.
So, okay. Yeah, I get it. Okay, so back to our questions here then. Okay. Favorite land?
I don't know whether it's cheating, but is World Showcase classed as a whole land?
Yes, absolutely.
Then World Showcase. I adore World Showcase so much.
Now that's interesting because you kind of live in Europe, which is almost a little World Showcase in and of itself, if you ask me.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I've done the World Showcase tour, the backstage tour there. It's absolutely brilliant. And we've had a couple of the Disney Fine Art photography sessions in World Showcase as well. I just love it there. I would happily spend my whole trip there, given half a chance.
Okay. So I take it Epcot is your favorite park?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So where's your favorite place on property to have a drink or a dessert?
Oh, the thing is, we don't actually spend much money in the Disney restaurants, actually. We're very frugal. One of the bars at the hotel, probably. For a dessert, and I don't know whether people will scream at me for this, my favorite dessert is the key lime pie at Sunshine Seasons. I just adore it. And it sounds ridiculous thinking it's just a quick service place.
No,
but, oh, I love it. I love it.
No. It's all about your preferences and what you dig. So,
yeah,
because I mean, you're probably going to convince me to try key lime pie there. And if my wife is with me, I'll definitely be trying key lime pie there because that's her favorite dessert as well.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Okay. But that's why we ask these questions. And that's why people listen to the show is to get different take and feedback here.
So, I want to see a photograph of you trying that now.
I will do it live, Vicky, just for you.
Oh my goodness, you're just going to make me jealous then.
Yes, 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 yes. I will definitely do a live there when we're checking that out. And we'll have to see if she just commandeers it or if my wife plays nice or not, because it's her favorite dessert.
try and get some.
Yeah. Our Patreon VIP Producers Club have a question. What do you do to maximize the value out of your DVC points?
Studios. We stay in studios. We cook. Well, I say we cook. I don't cook. My husband is the chef in the family. To go for as long as we possibly can. It's studio stays. We try, like I say, we're frugal. So we have our owner's lockers for keeping lots of cooking equipment in. We cook in the studios. We eat in the studios. And that's how we manage to save our money and stretch our points.
Oh, interesting. So tell me about the studio chef here.
I couldn't do half the things that he can do in a microwave. It's incredible. We've bought lots of specific cooking equipment for a microwave, like bacon toasters and jacket potato cookers, all sorts of things like then steamers, all sorts of things. Then he can cook a full-on meal in a studio quite easily now.
Yeah, I'm now looking up what a jacket potato is. So,
oh,
I'm like
like a baked potato. I think
oh, okay. Them. Okay. Right. That must be a British term.
Yes, maybe. Yes.
Okay. So baked potatoes in the microwave. That makes sense. That's what I've heard people doing is saran wrapping them. So, okay.
Mm.
Maybe we need to bring Anthony on and do a DVC studio cooking show.
Oh, I'm sure he would do that.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. We'll have to see if we get some listener comments on that as well. Okay. Now you mentioned keeping these things in your owner's lockers. How many owner's lockers do you have and how has that played out for you?
We have three owner's lockers. We fill them. We fill them right up. Because we're coming all the way over from the UK, paying for luggage is actually, well, it's not expensive, but we can save a lot of money just taking hand baggage with us.
Mm-hmm.
So the four of us will just bring hand baggage. We keep the majority of our things in our owner's locker. So toiletries, washing things, all the cooking things. My husband and I have all of our Disney clothes there. Obviously, we have to replace the children's every now and again because they grow. But yeah, we have three. We use them a lot.
Okay. So it sounds like you're like rolling clothes and really packing them in there tight to get the air out.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Let me just kind of wrap my heads on this. You come from the UK with just handbags, like carry-ons?
Yeah. We have some particular backpacks that we have that are the maximum size for the cabin bags that we're allowed to bring over. And they're quite large, actually. So we managed to get everything in there. And because we're staying on site at Disney pretty much the whole time we're there, as soon as we get there, those owner's lockers are waiting for us and we just unpack from the owner's locker. It's easy. And it's also a lot easier to get around the airport without lots of luggage.
Yeah, no kidding. So does the airline you use let you bring like a roll-on bag or are these really just backpacks?
They're backpacks, but they're large backpacks.
Okay.
I mean, they're really quite large. We just got from Amazon, but all four of us have one of those and they work brilliantly for us. We managed to get everything that we need in there, which was quite handy at Christmas because we did actually bring one case with us at Christmas with Christmas gifts and such like in, which unfortunately the airline lost. But fortunately, we had most of our things in our owner's locker, so we were still okay.
Okay. Now I have to ask, did you miss Christmas because they didn't have the gifts in time? Or
it was an interesting thing that happened. We got to the resort and we got there the day before Christmas Eve, and we'd been at the airport for hours and hours filling in forms and such like for our luggage. We got there and the lady on the reception desk asked us how our trip was, so obviously we told her what had happened, and all of the Christmas gifts were in the case that we had. But the next day was obviously Christmas Eve, and Santa came to visit Kidani on Christmas Eve, and we told Santa what had happened, and he told our children not to worry, that eventually Santa would bring the case to the resort. It might take a few days or even a week or two, but eventually Santa would bring the case to the resort, and he did. So it was okay. The case was delayed for about 3 days, but we did manage to get everything in the end, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, you get it on Boxing Day, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully you don't have to pack all that up and take it all back with you. So oh, I'm just happy that I remembered that December 26th is Boxing Day, and that thing that's over right. in Europe. So, okay.
It is. Boxing Day is a big thing over here.
Yeah, Boxing Day. It's where you box all the stuff back up and take it back. For those of you who are listening that might not know, it's...
Well, that's where it came from, but nowadays Boxing Day is when all the sales begin, so...
Ah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, then. And looking at this, is there anything that you guys consider hidden gems of a Disney vacation, like obscure food, attractions, or a feature another member should try out?
Oh, I think... For that, it would be, for us, it's been the tours. We've taken part in a great many tours over the years, and we have some favourites. We have some that don't exist anymore. My husband was even lucky enough to do the DVC one at Soarin', and I've done the DVC member event at Wine Bar George as well. So it's things like that that we like to do as those little extras.
Yeah. The Soaring Tour in the World is meh, in my opinion. It's phenomenal in California. So if you go to California, sign up for it again.
Okay.
I mean, you will actually go backstage in Soaring, like behind the screen and in between the two theaters. Whereas in the World, your backstage is you come in at Figment and you cut into the queue line. It's like 20 feet backstage between the bathrooms at Figment and walking into a side entrance into the Soaring queue. You don't actually go backstage in the inner workings of the attraction the way you do in California. That's why I tell everybody you have to do California.
You would think it would be the same, really, wouldn't you?
You would, but it's a different park manager and different philosophies, and they have a tour guide over in California that actually came up with this idea and wrote the script for it. And this guy eats, lives, and breathes Soaring. Okay.
I see.
So he knows everything that there pretty much is to know because he's pretty passionate about it. And if Mark's not working that day, they have to cancel the tour.
I see.
So the World looked at it and said, we really don't have anybody like that. And they don't really have anybody else like that either. So we can't really compete.
That's a shame.
Yeah. But that's why I tell everybody, if you can, kudos to Mark over at DCA and the Soaring Ride. Let's move on to our Tinkerbell question here. So if Tinkerbell were to put 2,000 one-time use points into your account that you could book anything in the DVC system with guaranteed availability, how would you use them?
Oh my goodness, I listen all the time. And every time I hear this question, I change my answer because I always think that people come up with such wonderful ideas and I think, oh yes, I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that. I think for us, it would be very much split stay, which we do a lot anyway. I'd really like to experience the cabins over at Copper Creek. I think they look beautiful. But I would also really like to stay at the Grand Villa at Bay Lake Tower, which looks phenomenal. I've had some friends that have stayed there and I've been very jealous of them. But for us, it would be, especially because it's 2,000 points. Again, we're so frugal. I would probably stretch it out for as long as I possibly could. Maybe do some 2 bedrooms or something to treat ourselves.
I was going to say, is this frugality going to keep going with Tinkerbell's points, or are you guys going to splurge a little?
I I think it still would. For us, it's all about the amount of time we get to spend there. When we go to visit next year, we'll be able to do a one bedroom because we have bank points from this year. But if we didn't have those bank points, we would rather stay longer because my husband and I are both teachers. We have 6 weeks in the summer where we can come over. And because the flights are so expensive, we may as well come for as long as we possibly can and really make use of those points and stretch them. So even if Tinkerbell was to gift them, we would still try and come for as long as we could.
Yeah, that makes sense as well. It's interesting to hear you guys are teachers because I know most Europeans have 4 weeks minimum for vacation. Mm-hmm. And we like end our career at 4 weeks. So
yeah.
See 4 weeks. So
no, I have a lot of friends that are American and just them going for 2 or 3 days. I'm like, my goodness, that would just be a warm up for us. Although we had our shortest ever trip was 5 days, which was a long way to come for 5 days. But yeah, we try and stay for as long as we possibly can because it's such a long way for us to come.
Yeah, now what happened with the 5 day trip? That's interesting.
Yeah, we did it twice, actually. It was in October. We have a one week holiday in October half term. And we came over for that. So we came 2 years running in October for the Halloween party. And 1 year when we came over, we didn't actually have park tickets. We just did the Halloween. No, I'm wrong. It was the tail end of our annual pass that we'd bought the previous year. So we had a couple of days on our annual pass, and then we did the Halloween party for a couple of nights, and we used that as our park days.
Oh, nice. Okay. So, I mean, I'm assuming you must have got somewhat of a deal on airfare as well, or?
Yeah, it's not quite so expensive in October. And we were desperate to come to Food and Wine as well, because we'd never done that before. So it was kind of like a Food and Wine stroke Halloween party type trip. Both of them.
Yeah, just this year I went in October for the first time and it was like, duh, hello, I now get Food and Wine. Okay.
Yes. Although when we came over at Christmas last year, I don't know whether I preferred the Christmas food festival that they had because the temperature was so pleasant. Hmm. It was nice to be able to enjoy the food outside without being ridiculously hot.
That was my observation in October was it was still ridiculously hot and still ridiculously humid.
Exactly.
So I'm hoping November is a little bit better, but I can see why now those first 2 weeks in December are super popular with DVC members. Not only do you get the low point, but you get the ideal weather.
Absolutely.
And the parks are still decorated for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can just tell you when I retire, I'm going to be gunning for those. So
that would be wonderful.
Yeah, that's going to be wonderful.
Yeah.
Earlier, you mentioned this Wine Bar George DVC event. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I've actually done that twice. It was an anniversary present from my husband, and it was fantastic. The first time we did it was George's second in command, as he liked to call him. And it was, you taste 6 wines, and they tell you all about the stories and the history behind it and such like, and you have a charcuterie board that goes with it. First time we did it was great, but the second time we did it, we actually had George himself, and I've since found out from George that he normally does it himself. It's very rare that he doesn't do it, and the event was supposed to be, I think, an hour and a half long, and we were there for nearly 2.5-3 hours because of all the stories he was telling us. Wonderful man, and a really lovely event. Get to chat to lots of other DVC members as well, which was really nice.
Awesome. So now, do you need to be like a wine fan to enjoy that, or could you enjoy it if you're not so much of a wine fan?
Well, I mean, I like wine, but I don't know anything about it. And what was good about it was, especially the one where we had George, he was very much, it doesn't matter what sort of wine you like. It doesn't matter how much you spend. It's all about you like what you like. And he was giving us lots and lots of different options for us to try. And obviously he was telling us about the grapes and where they came from and things like that. But it didn't matter to him. It was like, if you enjoy this, this is what you should look for. And he was such a wonderful guy. And you really didn't need to be a wine expert at all.
Awesome. I'm probably gonna have to put that on my list now, Vicky. So
it's well worth doing. It's a really good event.
Okay, then I'm gonna have to do that. Well, Vicky, I want to thank you for being on the show today. How can listeners follow up with you or find you on social media if they want to connect with you or contact you after the show?
Okay, we have a YouTube channel. We have a Facebook group, which is called The Wells Family Disney Adventures. It just started out as a way of us to keep track of our trips for us and our family, really. But it's become a little bit bigger than that. It's not huge, but we have some bits and pieces going on there. And we have vlogs every couple of weeks from our Disney trips normally. But at the moment, obviously, we're not there. So we've got some vlogs of our holiday in the UK. But yeah, it's probably the best place to find me.
Okay, Wells Family Adventure on Facebook, and we can look for that on YouTube as well. And I will definitely put links to both in the show notes. So thanks so much for joining us today, Vicki.
You're welcome.
Well, that puts another episode in the books. I'd like to thank DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, Monera Financial, and Incredible Vacation Homes for sponsoring Season 4 of the My DVC Points podcast. I'd also like to thank Golf Girl and a whole bunch of eights for this awesome iTunes review. Disney education packed with humor. Love the content the Disney community shares. Every episode, I learn more and more about Walt Disney World. My favorites are all the restaurant tips, ways to save money every trip, and learning all about the unique DVC properties. Thanks for making such amazing content. Well, thank you for that awesome review, and we're glad that it helps you save money and plan a better vacation for your family. From now until the end of the year, we have a very special deal going. If you go over to dvcswag.com, you can buy all kinds of DVC-branded t-shirts, some from the My DVC Points, and some from some of the resorts that we've started to create. All of this custom DVC swag makes a great gift for those in your family who love the Vacation Club. Also, if you like the content we create and you want to help financially support the show, you can do so over at patreon.com/mydvcpoints. From now until the end of the year, every dollar that comes in on Patreon and DVC swag is being donated to Cast Member Pantry. If you've been thinking about buying some merchandise or joining our Patreon group, now's the perfect opportunity. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hopefully you found something in today's episode that'll help you go out there and plan something magical for your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.